the amazing, well, I suppose it's Malcolm McLaren with a little bit of help from his operatic friends. A wonderful track taken from the 80s. I love that song. High drama, of course, involved in Madame Butterfly. And there's more high drama going on here in Castlemaine, but it's not the festival. It's not the fringe. It's actually happening down at the Fee Broadway. And to talk about it, I've got the president of the Castlemaine Theatre Company with me, Kate Stones. Good morning.
Good morning, Suzanne.
So, posters of protest on the outside walls of the, on the doors of the Fee on the weekend. What's going on?
I'd just like to say, first of all, that I'm speaking today as a citizen from the community of Castlemaine. I'm not actually officially representing the Castlemaine Theatre Company in this capacity, so everything I say is just my take on things. I noticed the posters that were up on Saturday morning that were protesting about the fact that the community organisations have not been able to have access to the Fee Broadway for a period of at least 2 years now. And
now that seems completely crazy. We've got this fully equipped theatre in the middle of town
that's got
all the things that a theatre company would need.
Yep.
And people aren't using it. So what's the impediment?
What's the impediment?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Fee Broadway was closed for over a year back in around 2014 because there had been some accident that had happened and the council had closed the venue down for renovating the equipment, and they had closed it down initially to put in what they referred to as a skeleton rig. So it was really repaired to a minimal standard, but the equipment was new and safe. Mm-hmm. There was also an undertaking to then put more money aside for renovating it further, so it was more properly appointed for professional theatre use. Or amateur theatre use,
and
any kind of theatre use, and so when the theatre reopened in 2015, I believe it was for the 2015 State Festival, the council put an additional said that everyone who hired the venue had to put in had to pay an additional $50 an hour for the entire period of their booking. For a duty technician to be present. So
so that, you know, the includes fact that rehearsal that, time, bump in, bump out, performance.
Every hour that you're in the theatre. Now, as a community theatre company, the venue, the Fee Broadway venue is reasonably expensive anyway. It's not comparably to what a theatre costs, but when you're in the venue where you're performing, that's a large cost. So we don't do any additional rehearsals other than what is absolutely essential in the venue. Mm-hmm. But it means that we are in the venue for, if we perform for three weekends and we're in there for the weekend before, we are occupying the venue, not 24/7, but for a number of hours over a month period. Mm-hmm. The thing that's, I think that's probably...
Is that standard practice? For a duty technician to be part of the deal?
Look, it is standard practice to have someone around at the venue that is qualified, but
you can
certainly
kind of see
not.
You need somebody that knew how to plug the, you know, the lights into the right switchboard so that there wasn't some kind of electrical disaster or, you know.
That's right, yeah. But, I mean, our operators and technicians have a lot of experience, and they've been working in venues. And actually, Neil Harrison, who was the Castlemaine Theatre Company operator and lighting technician, he's employed by the State Festival to do lighting. So mm-hmm. So there's certainly... this was one of the things that we suggested to council, that was in some way we could have an accreditation.
Yeah, so someone who was qualified and had the kind of wherewithal could be the person that works as the duty technician.
Yeah. I don't think the community groups have any problem with a duty technician being present.
Yeah.
But it's the cost of hiring the venue has gone up by 150%. That's like double and half again.
Half, yeah.
So it's absolutely unaffordable for community groups.
So I've heard stories, I don't know if this is true, but local school groups and community groups are going to Bendigo because it's cheaper than being at the fee.
I'm not sure. I can't say whether it's a cost factor, but it's, I think in some cases it's a cost factor, but in other cases it's also just a, in principle factor as well. I mean, I can't speak for other organisations, but it's basically the problems that have been, the inflexibility of the attitude of Shire staff, I think, has been an issue.
So who actually runs the fee? Is it actually run by the council?
It is run by the council, yeah.
So they own it? We own it?
Yeah, it's publicly owned, yeah.
Okay.
That's right, yeah, it's publicly owned. So, and I think the thing that is also a little bit hard for the community to swallow is the fact that, you know, the Castlemain State Festival, much as I love the Castlemain State Festival, I've been going to lots of shows and they've been fantastic, but they're not paying the duty fee for the technician. That's something that the council are bearing that cost. And as far as I know, the Goldfields Library Corporation don't pay the duty fee technician. So it appears that it's something, targeted specifically, I won't say to the community, but certainly it's only the touring shows and the community that have
we can
to pay
see
this
why
fee.
The council wants to support the state festival, and that's an obvious and easy way for them to do that, because I'm assuming that the festival would have their accredited technician, you know, so therefore that would work.
Yeah.
But a group of you got together, didn't you, and had a conversation about this with the council?
Yeah, we've been...
Including Callum from the jail.
Yeah, that's right. We've been doing negotiations and writing letters and petitioning the elected council members and the council staff for at least 18 months. So this was announced, this additional fee was announced to us in 2015, in the middle of 2015.
Right.
And from that point on, we have been going through all the proper channels to try and get some resolution.
And what's been the response?
Well, we've worked with council staff, the cultural development officers particularly, also with outside advisors who come in from VACPAC and the Capitol Theatre. And we put in budget submissions and different suggestions of how we can make the situation workable. Now, those negotiations kind of came to a little bit of a stop at the end of last year, but then the council came back to us and said, well, the cultural development officers came back to us and said, look, we acknowledge that the venue has been pretty much quiet for the last 18 months. There's been not very much activity there. We need to get the community back in there because otherwise we can't justify maintaining the venue.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So, which is, you know, so that was great that they acknowledged that. And they, we did a survey, we had negotiations with them, and they came back with a proposal to take to the upper levels, up the council ladder, and I don't know the exact details of the proposal, but we were told that the proposal would be something along the lines of there would be a specific grant that people could apply for in order to perform at the Fee Broadway.
Yeah.
Now, we said, well, that's a bit annoying because, you know, that's just us having to do more paperwork on our volunteer hours so we can, you know, yeah, we give our money to the council through our rates and then, you know, we have to then fill in a form so we can get money back off them so we can give it back to them. That's a bit annoying, but we're prepared to do that.
Grant writing is a particularly annoying thing to have to do.
It is particularly annoying, but we're prepared to do that because obviously we've got to adapt as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the amount that they were suggesting that would be the cap on that grant wouldn't entirely cover that. What I worked out was that it would add $3,500 to our budget to pay this. So it wasn't quite that amount, but it was approaching that amount. And so we would be prepared to put in the additional money and do the additional paperwork
wouldn't
to make
it,
that
wouldn't
happen.
Wouldn't it be just easier for them to, you know, waiver the fee for the due technician? I mean, that would be so much less mucking around, one would have thought.
Well, that's the point we made, but apparently that wasn't going to be acceptable.
They're probably worried about public liability, et cetera.
Quite possibly.
The entire world, Kate, is run by the insurance companies.
That's right.
Frighten everybody.
That's right. That's right.
Into doing nothing in case somebody gets hurt. So,
that's right. Yeah, that's possibly what they're up against. And, you know, we all want to be safe and we want to work with councillors as positively as we can.
Of course.
So we were quite excited this year. It was looking like that this proposal was going to be taken to the upper, again, the, I'm not quite sure who
upper
they
echelon.
Are, but the upper echelons of the people who decide what to do with our money.
People who know about sport, not art.
Well, we heard nothing then about what the results of that was. Then the next thing we heard was that both the cultural development officers were no longer going to be employed. One of them resigned. I think it was Tegan who resigned. I'm not sure she had a permanent part-time position, but Tegan and Angelica were job sharing the position. I believe that Angelica came to the end of her contract and Tegan resigned.
And Tegan's contract was not renewed, or she decided
to... I've got no idea, actually.
But yeah. What the sum total is that there's no cultural officer
there's currently no. I think they have a part-time community person in who's an internal person that they've just assigned to deal with whatever they need to deal with.
But not somebody that's got that specific job at the moment?
Not at the moment, no. Mm. I don't think there's any... There's no indication that... I mean, there's every indication that there will be one in the future, but
yeah. Currently, no. Tegan's resignation... Has that got anything to do with this, do you know, or is that something else entirely?
I can't say.
Okay. All right.
One could speculate
that
it might.
Yes, you can speculate, but we can't say one way or the other. We can neither
I don't feel
confirm
like
or deny what happened with Tegan.
But look, Tegan's been really... Honestly, I will say... Oh, maybe I shouldn't say. No, when I first met Tegan, she declared a really strong, positive desire to make the Fee Broadway accessible for the community. That was one of the points she made to me very strongly and passionately, that she wanted to see that the venue was used by the community in a positive way.
I'm sure. I mean, that does seem just sensible. And Tegan's a great person, and she's very involved with the arts, and
she is
excellent advocate for the arts. So. Well, what a conundrum. So we'll have to sort of watch this space, I think, to see what happens. But, you know, it does seem such a kind of waste to have a community resource that's not being used because for various reasons. And as you said, the council are duty bound to make sure the community is using it.
That's right.
And the community, I'm sure, are keen as mustard to use it themselves. Mm. So,
Particularly, I think the young people in our community I think it's really important for them. I've seen them backstage, and the wonder and the delight they get from working in a big, exciting venue like the Fee Broadway and having that voice for their community.
Well, I don't know if you would... I'm assuming you were at the opening night at the Castlemaine Festival, where the young people of Castlemaine were just... Extraordinary.
Yeah, so it was absolutely the highlight to see the kids from Castlemaine Secondary College doing that fantastic choreography. And
wasn't it wonderful?
It was lovely.
So you can only imagine that they've been, you know, completely set on fire by that experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So we hope that it won't be extinguished by having nowhere to go.
I don't think anything can, our creative energy as a community cannot be extinguished. I think that's for sure. But I think we deserve a position centrally and properly appointed.
And given that it is owned and owned by the ratepayers of Castlemaine, it does seem like a sensible thing to have happen.
Yeah.
Kate, thank you for coming in. Have you got anything on at the theatre, by the way? The festival? No, you haven't, have you?
Well, I'm involved in the No Hands Creatability production, which is on Saturday night at 6 o'clock at the Fee Broadway Theatre. So I'm involved in, you know, I've got my finger in a few pies.
What's the No Hands? Sure.
So that's working with a group from Bendigo called Creatability, and it's they're a group of adults with varying abilities,
a bit like Back to Back.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, not on the same scale, but certainly we're there are inspiration.
Well, Back to Back is probably one of the most inspirational theatre companies in Australia.
Absolutely. And interestingly, it's the only theatre company where the ensemble is full-time paid positions as performers, which is interesting. Anyway, so No Hands is based on a story by Karen Blixen, who's the woman who wrote...
Out of Africa.
Yes, Out of Africa and Babette's Feast. So the original story is called The Diver, and it's set in a kind of fictional version of the Middle East somewhere in the days of yore, and it's about a man who wants to talk to angels, and he gets obsessed with this idea of talking to angels, and then it's about his process of disillusion and acceptance of life.
Wow.
So
that sounds fabulous.
It's lovely. It's been an absolute pleasure working with these guys.
So you're helping with the direction?
I'm co-directing. So yeah. At this point, because Sam Thomas and I were mm-hmm. Directing, Sam is actually the creative director and I'm the artistic associate. So, but we work very much as a team. And mm-hmm. So it was originally Sam's idea to bring that story in and work with that story.
He's a real powerhouse, Sam Thomas.
He's fantastic. Yeah. He's a lot of fun to work with and he's very creative and he's great.
He is. Yeah, and he, of course, was the one that was the artistic director for the opening night.
That's right.
And he's also doing the closing day.
Yes, yes.
So no pressure.
So that's right. And that's why in the last couple of months, really, I've taken the lead in terms of pulling the last...
The No Hands
pulling
project.
Pulling the bit together, yeah.
Because he had directing a bit on his hands.
Yeah, that's right.
He had actually no hands and no hands to do anything more.
That's right, yeah.
Well, Kate, thanks very much for coming in and telling us the story. And
thanks very much, Suzanne.
If anything happens, please come on and tell us more.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to know how this all pans out, and hopefully it'll work out for everyone's benefit.
Yeah, certainly. I think that community groups really want to work positively with council and negotiate.
And I'm sure council
understand the need for security and safety, and we don't want.
Yeah, I'm sure council is keen to see it, the Fee Broadway thriving, because why wouldn't they?
Yeah, one would hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Kate Stones, thanks very much for coming on here.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Promise me no promises, so while I not promise you, keep we both our liberties, never false, never true. Let us hold the die and cast, free to come as free to go, for I cannot know your past, and of mine what can you know?